Hey guys, welcome back to Cuenta Cuenta Podcast. This is Angela.
It's your girl Tessa.
What's up guys, it's Ed.
And this is KP.
Yo, what's up y'all, thanks for joining us. So KP can't join us today because he's a circle, according to our chat. But our special guest today is an actor and voiceover actor. He was Mofa number 4, and he doesn't let people push him around on set. Everybody, you remember Brandon, right?
Woo! Let's go, Brandon! Welcome back.
Thanks for coming back. Thanks
for coming. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. You know, you didn't warn me about that intro, so I'm like still like, what the fudge just happened?
Well, yeah, because I remember the last time we spoke, you were talking about how like you would put your foot down on set, and so yeah. I was like, that was pretty important to me.
You've been busy. I've been seeing the Instagrams.
Yeah, it's been, last year was super busy, and like luckily it was super busy, but this year I'm just like, I just want to chill.
I understand. I completely agree, but there is no chill. So, how was your trip? If we saw, like, it was super awesome. You were wearing some really cool clothes, and y'all look really cute. Tell us about it.
Oh, my gosh. So, for the listeners listening, I went to Miss Universe, and it happened to be in New Orleans. Oh. It was, yeah. So, it was super fun. It's an iconic year, because if y'all didn't know, there were two Filipina candidates, obviously Celeste Cortesi, who represented the Philippines, and Arbenia Gabriel, who represented USA, and spoiler alert, USA won this year. So there was a high and low of New Orleans, from the winner of Arbenia to Miss Philippines not placing after 12 years of a consecutive streak. So all the feels. On top of that, I was drunk the whole time because...
Sounds like a great weekend regardless.
Oh, it was a great week. And I was with my pageant brothers from Mistress of Filipinas America. Shout out to Jay Mata and Joseph Ilos. And we actually were, Joseph was number 3, I was number 4, and Jay was number 5 in our pageant. So we were all like close together. So it was nice. It was super cute.
What made you want to join the pageant?
You know, we were talking about this earlier. I wasn't getting any younger, and I had such a curiosity for it. I've always loved Miss Universe. Obviously, I would never be Miss Universe because I'm a man. But I was like, you never know. Mr/Miss Universe eventually changes. And
I said ma'am, sir, universe.
Ma'am, sir, universe. They, them, universe. We're very cute.
All of the above.
And the national director reached out to me on Facebook, and so he scouted out for me on there, and so that's kind of why I joined. I was not really looking for it. I think in my heart I always wanted to compete because I thought I could win, because I've watched so many years of it, and I feel like I have so much knowledge as a fan that I could apply as a contestant. And I was like, why not? If not now, then when? As our Gabriel says.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. And you got a title, right?
I wouldn't even call it a title. I got fourth prince, which basically means fifth place.
Five out of how many people, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I was just happy to place nonetheless, just because like it was a good batch of folks. It was my first pageant ever. I've never competed.
That's amazing. Like, it was your first pageant and you placed. Like, that's really cool.
Thank you. And like, you know, it was just really fun. And I got to meet Katrina De Maranan, who was the host of the pageant. She was first runner up of Miss Universe Philippines 2021. And she was one of my favorite contestants of all time. So it was really fun. Win or lose, I was fully just happy to experience the pageant life. As you know, Angela, it's crazy. It's freaking crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I don't know if this happened to you, but I noticed this with like other girls. Every time like we prepare for it for like how many months, and then when it's finally there, we're just like, I just want this to be over with. I want to leave. I want to be done. Did you feel that way, or was it just
the no girl? I didn't feel that way. I was just having so much fun the whole time. Aww. I I never thought I would do a pageant, and I knew this would be the only pageant I do. So I was just having fun the whole time. Like, I was so okay with winning.
You could not relate, Angela.
No, it's not even that. It was just cool because we got to do all these photo shoots. We got to be part of the press. I got to meet Tita Lavinia from the Philippines, who's like a pageant blogger. And, you know, a lot of people that I've, you know, looked up to in the pageant world, and to be part of the community, I was just like happy to be there.
Yeah. So, like,
come coronation night, I really just had fun on stage. And I was actually sad when it was over. I was actually really sad when it was over. And there's parts of me even to this day where I'm like, I kind of want to compete again. But I also am like, if you compete again, you have to do better than the last time. And like, that's just, I don't know. I think doing it the first time, there was less pressure because there was no expectation.
Right.
And I will say there was, I will admit this, there was favoritism towards certain candidates, including myself. And I kind of knew that in my brain, that I thought that my journey was a little easier than others, if that makes sense. I miss it, actually. I want to compete again, but I'm also getting too old.
Is there an age limit?
For men, it depends on the pageant system. Like for Manhunt, which is the bigger one, it's like 35. But for other ones, it's like 30, 28. My pageant was 28. So this was the last year that I could compete in this pageant.
Oh, wow. Well, so here's the thing. If you're using that mentality, then it's like you already placed the best you're ever going to place that one. So if you're doing another pageant, then it's like, you don't necessarily have to beat what you did last time. It's like a fresh pageant. It's like a fresh set. So it's like whatever you're going into, it's like the first time.
That's true. But I will say though, like the pageant that I had reached the Philippines in the sense where like people were talking about it and there were comments and people talking mm-hmm. like, even if you join another pageant, the people watching that pageant follow the other one.
You're still out there. Okay.
And you're still out there. And like, even when I went to Miss Universe, I got recognized a few times, which I was like, what the hell? It was bizarre. So it just tells me that, like, you know, the pageant fans, if y'all don't know, are really, really critical, and they are diehards. They're like, they are a huge fan of you. They will like follow you to the ends of the earth. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, like I did Miss New York USA like 2017, and to this day there's still people who saw me in that pageant, and I didn't place, I wasn't a standout at all, but there are people who just saw me and they follow me to this day. And especially the Filipinos, like Filipinos are, they go hard on pageants.
Oh my god, like that, I think that was the weirdest part about that whole experience, was like seeing you're like half naked in a picture, and it's like going around the internet because you're in your like swimsuit and people like commenting on your body and like your face and all that stuff, like for better or worse, like it's so weird. I'm just like, how does my mom still love me after this? How do I still have a boyfriend after this? Like, Christ.
So hypercritical.
Yeah, really. I mean, even like y'all at Miss Universe, it was crazy. Like, fans were going nuts, especially when Celeste wasn't called. There were people crying. There were people angry. It was nuts. And then even, like, when we went to the parties after the show, you know, there were such toxic fans talking shit about Celeste. At one point, I was at this bar, and there was this, like, group of Filipino men just talking so much shit about her and the team. But they didn't know that the team was, like, right behind them.
Oh.
Nah. Oh.
Yeah, it was bad. But I was like, y'all can keep talking.
Was there a rumble? Was there a rumble?
Laban.
Was there a rumble? No, there wasn't a rumble. I think the team, to be honest, I felt like the team who was working with Celeste was just kind of in their own world and were just trying to have a good time, that they weren't paying attention to anybody else. So
good for them. Yeah.
But I was like watching it all happen, and like, I'm not going to be the one to stop it. I was like, you know, y'all keep talking. I want to see how this plays out.
Innocent bystander.
right. Innocent, right. Bystander, right.
Oh.
Brandon was over there like, tell me how you really feel. say it louder.
What do you hate about this pageant?
Yeah. What about her hair? Talk about her hair.
You don't like the dress? Who's the designer? Yeah.
Who picked the dress? Talk about who picked it.
Well, I remember after the pageant at one point, I was actually trying to console fans because there were people who were like crying, who were upset. And I was like, it's okay. We got, you know, a Miss Universe USA who's Filipino who won. And this guy like snapped at me and he was like, it's not okay. It's not okay. And like dead ass that fit with me. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know you.
You're not okay.
You're right.
Okay.
That's so interesting. What causes fans to be so diehard like
that? I know. How is it that, like, I feel like it's almost like comparable to maybe even more so than like, I don't know, like at like NFL or like NBA fans. It's like very, it's like, you know, when they're like really diehard for their teams. But these people are diehard for like just the individual people.
Oh my God, yeah, because like Angela, you know this, like you follow these contestants and you get so invested in their stories. And also, you know, being part of a pageant loving nation, you just want to be seen globally, especially, you know, during the time of Miss Universe when we started placing, Filipinos weren't as visible in the media. And I think this was our entryway into that. And I think that's why a lot of pageant fans go diehard. Like, what would you say, Angela, about that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think also it's a lot of not just about they really love this girl and they want to see her win, but I think it's more of like a really strong sense of nationalism. Like, yeah, this is Philippines. Like we need to be in the game. And just to put into perspective, like Miss Universe is the biggest beauty pageant in the world, like hands down. Maybe Miss World is close to it, but Miss Universe. And for the past 12 years, Philippines always placed. So when you place in a pageant, your story is always seen. They show your video, like you get to walk by yourself. So it's like a huge platform and stage. So this is like the first time that in 12 years that she that Philippines didn't even place, like they didn't even show Philippines at all. So for people, it's like Philippine, like the country of the Philippines was not seen. And you know how Filipinos are, like whenever we hear about a Filipino, we get a huge sense of pride. Like I don't know, like in any sort of industry, like anyone who's Filipino, we just get so proud. So I can understand why people were like really upset.
And also you fly across the world like to go to this thing. I flew to New Orleans and it took me like 6 hours to get there. And like, could you imagine if you flew from like the Philippines for your girl not to place? You're like, what am I doing here?
Yeah. But they like how
my ticket.
They go to the airlines, it's like a death certificate. Yeah. Like she's in place. But like how was New Orleans? Because I've been there before and it's so like the nightlife is just a whole other level. Like how was it?
Wait, before we talk about this, is it New Orleans or New Orleans?
It's
or
New
Orleans.
I say New Orleans just because people from there, I've heard them say New Orleans, I heard them say Nolens. Potato potato,
you know, potato potato. Potato potato, got you.
Potato, exactly.
Potato tomato, all right.
Yeah, nailed it.
Okay, I'm sorry, continue.
Okay. And the dad of the group, obviously.
I think I'm the oldest, am I?
Are you the tico of the group?
No, you're the oldest.
What's your age?
I'm 29.
29? Okay.
Yeah.
Tessa, what's your age?
25.
And then Angela, you're 28?
I'm 29, but I'm born in December.
Okay. So you're tied then.
Oh. He's like, wait, no. I'm like a couple months older.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm queer. I'm queer now.
Hey Brandon, how old are you?
I'm timeless. You know, it's so hard.
That's a great answer. Next time someone asks you that, I'm going to say, like, I'm timeless. Like, you never know. Oh, I love that.
It's so weird. When I did the pageant, I actually had to stop saying my age because the pageant media was like, oh, you're already this age? And so I was like, oh my God, that's so cruel. I'm still in my 20s.
You're like, okay.
Wow.
But I also just stopped saying my age too, just for like castability purposes.
That makes sense, actually. Yeah. We don't talk about that here. We don't talk about that here.
Meanwhile, I just asked everyone's age.
But I'm not casting. I'm not trying to get roles, so I'm fine with that. Yeah.
That's true.
I'm trying to seem more like, I'm trying to seem older because people in my industry don't think that you're credible unless you're old.
Yeah, that's messed up. I mean,
crazy.
But like, how rad would it be to have like a Gen Z boss? Like, I would live if my boss was like Gen Z. There was like this TikTok I posted on my Instagram where it was like, eh.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
With Duolingo comms.
I was like, I couldn't. I would just leave.
I would be dead. I love it. Like, I have a millennial boss. It's like, it's amazing. I love young bosses or like young people environment.
We love the youth.
Love the youth and world peace.
I just want to hug some unicorns. That's
all right, I'm leaving.
What this podcast is about.
How to leave.
Andrew, to answer your question, New Orleans was dope. Like, the nightlife was crazy. You know, it was like entering the gates of hell in the best ways possible.
Okay, like, that's fun.
Everyone was, I think because it was a pageant too, everyone was like dressed to the nines. There was just so much things to do. And I was telling Ed this earlier, like, I felt like I was in the Philippines because there were so many Filipinos there. And like so many people and Lao people, or Laotian people rather. I'm so sorry if you're Laotian, you're listening to this. Is it Laotian or Lao?
Laotian?
Comment below on the correct on the correct pronunciation.
Yeah, put type a one in chat if I'm correct, type a two in chat. If Angela's correct, type a three. If Tessa's correct, type a four. Brandon's correct.
Yeah, type in Mofo 4 if I'm correct.
Yeah, Mofo 4 for Brandon. Yeah.
So it was like a party and it was like celebrating with the world. It was awesome. And like, it was cool because like my crew, you know, I'm going to say it. We were kind of cute as a trio.
No, you were. I saw your, like, your barongs.
The barongs were so nice.
Yeah. We, like, coordinated and we, like, you know, we wanted to, like, raise our flag for the Philippines. Obviously, it didn't place, but we still raised it. And we also just wanted to, like, look cute together because we were the closest in the pageant when we were competing. People thought we were a boy band group at one point, which was cute. And I just said, yeah, we are.
Did you start singing, doing like a cappella?
Oh my God. No.
For you, Apo Hiking Society.
You bust out during the talent section.
But it was cool because we got like free drinks left and right. And
oh, that's cool. Ooh. Yeah, those are always nice.
It is. Like, it was, I actually didn't spend a lot of money as much as I thought I would be because we got like hella free crap there. We were, we just did a lot for not that much, which was really nice.
Love to hear that.
And it was cool because like I felt like the only people who were there were like diehard pageant fans, but I felt like they were older because it's not cheap to go to these things. And so like when you see like a young thing walking around, you're just like, you just want to holla.
So everyone was shooting their shot. Okay, I see.
I don't know, but the thing is, like, I want to experience New Orleans outside of the pageant because I feel like it's probably a lot more different.
Yeah.
Because everyone there, you could talk to them, and you'll have a common interest. And I was actually in New Orleans like after Katrina, and obviously I was like in high school when that all happened, so it was a drastically different experience. But also like demographically, you know, when I was there in what 2012, I was probably like the only Asian person there. But when I went this time, there was hella Asian people, and it was really I think I was in Asia, I swear.
I'm a little bit jealous because when I went to New Orleans, so I was like walking around I went with my mom because we were going to go on a cruise. And then there's this guy, like, have you seen those, like, those guys who like stand out of the club and they try to like get people to go inside their bars or whatever?
So the promoter?
So he had like a whistle and he was like telling like all these people to like come in. And then when he saw me, he took out his whistle and he's like, move. Keep going.
Oh,
oh, oh, no. Excuse me. How old were you? Your club. So I just gave it a middle finger and then I walked away.
How old were you?
I was like 24.
Oh my God.
What the hell?
Like, maybe he thought he were a kid, but like, oh, that's rude.
No, like, maybe he thought I was like young. I don't know. I was just really offended. So I was like,
I would be too, literally. I'd be like, what? I'm going to go to your club now. You have a problem with it?
I'm
a in New Orleans, sometimes there I did encounter, not to make it a downer, I did encounter some weird things happen. Like I like went to this fancy restaurant and one of the workers was like, I should put you in the kitchen. Strike one. Strike two. I was like walking randomly to the restroom and like some white chick like stopped me and she was like, you look like Jackie Chan. Like straight up. And
it's like, don't though. That's what
I don't. But then no. I asked her, like, which era?
What'd she say?
No, I didn't ask her that. I just.
Oh, that would have been funny. She would have been like,
I know. So there are some things in like New Orleans or the South rather where I'm like, oh God, I'm happy that I don't have to experience this in California. Not as nearly as much.
Yeah,
I feel like people forget that New Orleans is the South because it is like you think of New Orleans as opposed to it being part of Louisiana, right. So you're just like, oh, like New Orleans party city, da, da, da. And you're like, well, Confederacy was here, so
yeah,
Confederacy was.
But the people were so nice though, like I was able to talk to people who were from there, they were super sweet, they didn't know what I was, which was really interesting. But they were curious and they were like wanted to know more, and it was really it was really cute, and then everyone just seems really happy to be there. But I don't know, I don't think I'd go back for a while unless another pageant was happening there.
Did you get, well I guess they only do it during Mardi Gras, right? The beads, I was gonna ask about that. Right? That's just Mardi Gras. Do you have a story? You were cackling. Tell.
Yeah. Well, because I really wanted beads.
And right. That's what you do.
I don't drink a lot. So this is New Orleans. So like if my manager's listening, I was only drinking because we're in New Orleans, not because like I drink a lot. I was like drunkenly walking around and this guy, like this like older daddy type of gay, was like, not really, but he had a bunch of beads. He had a bunch of beads on. I just really wanted it, so I offered up my friend to flash him for one of the beads. And he did it, and he got it for me. I'm not gonna be with men. I'm taken. I can't flash people.
But wait, I don't know if this is an inappropriate question, but I'm gonna ask. What do men flash?
Yeah, what do men flash?
I know, like, Mardi Gras, like, girls will flash their boobs for the beat. What do men flash?
We flash the same thing. It's equal opportunity.
Oh, okay.
Equal opportunity.
I feel like that's not as flashy, though. Like, it's not as invasive because, like, as a man, you can walk around without a shirt on and it not be, like, a huge deal. As opposed to, like, a woman is not as much.
But it shouldn't be a big deal for women to walk around with their top off like men. So like maybe,
I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, in New York, it's actually completely legal for women to walk around with their top on, but it's just not ideal.
Why is it ideal? I'm just kidding.
Why is it not ideal?
Yeah.
He
did ask him to flash something else, but we were like, nah. And so you already gave it to, like, he gave the beads and then he asked to flash something else. And we're like, well, you already gave the beads out. Like,
he was just trying to hit, like.
It's
too late. It's too late.
I know, but I actually don't think I'd want to go there for Mardi Gras because, like, it was already crazy it not being Mardi Gras. There were people, like, throwing up on the streets. People like stumbling. It was nuts. Like, that's why I said, like, this is like the gates of hell for me, where it's like a bunch of drunk people dressed up really well.
That's the gates of hell.
It is. Like, think about it. Like, you're all like dressed up and proper, but yet you're suffering. Yeah.
You don't want to ruin anything. You don't accidentally vomit on yourself.
Half the
walking,
people
walking, how far is the hotel? Like, yeah.
My feet hurt.
Don't actually care about you. Like, it's nuts. It's just like, this is getting really, like, I'm so sorry.
Did you see any like voodoo stuff? Like, did you get like, I remember I got like this voodoo powder that says,
of course you would.
Your bed, you'll meet the love of your life. So that's why I'm still single, because I lost it. Nowhere near my bed.
I saw like voodoo shops and like card readers on the street, but like I wasn't trying to do all that. Actually, when I got back home from New Orleans, creepy, I like went to bed and then like I had a lucid dream, and then I felt like my spirit was getting sucked out of me. Like that was, yeah. So I might not be Brandon right now. So just like, no, but I was scared though. Like the next day I was like, oh my God, did I bring a spirit home?
Oh. Angela, your parents need to do an exorcism.
Yeah. Another one?
For Brandon.
Oh, they already did it on Monday.
That's funny.
Oh, God. Have y'all ever had to do that before, like an exorcism?
Oh my God. Wait, not a real one. Angela, you can tell it. Wait, okay, yeah. Key context right here.
No, it wasn't like a real exorcism, but I saw, because I believe in ghosts. I don't know about everyone else, but I do. So I honestly thought that I saw a ghost who pressed on my chest, and I thought it was my brother because it was like a silhouette of a man. And then yeah, like I really thought it was a ghost. So when I told my parents, they all gave me like rosary beads and holy water. And then I didn't see the ghost anymore. So
it worked. The rosary and the holy water, or did you lose it with the voodoo powder?
Oh, that's
it. You mixed it with the voodoo powder.
There's like a lot going on in my brain. There's holy water, voodoo powder. Yeah.
Oh, I have all this like spiritual.
Like, I can't. Yeah. Spiritual, like, I can't. That's funny though.
I feel like Filipinos are hella spiritual. Like they'd be hella Catholic, but they'll also believe in like ghosts and like tarot card readings. Like my grandma was super Catholic, but she had like a tarot card reader on call. And I was like, it's such a juxtaposition.
Well, I feel like that's part of being like hella Catholic though, is like they believe in like the ghosts and like spirits and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's like true. The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
I've seen a ghost before, like actually, like recently.
Really?
You did?
I did. And like I tell the story because it made me believe in the afterlife, because I don't think I believed in it before. My partner Gio and I were walking down Silver Lake, which is like an LA hip area, and his father had just passed away. Aww. And I had not met his father ever in my life, like because they're not too close. And so I was walking, and then we'd stopped, and there was this man next to a tree who looked like he was from the 1970s. And my heart just like started racing out of nowhere. And I just felt like so much chills, goosebumps on my arm. Mm. I started to panic a bit, and I was like looking at him. And then I told Gio, like, there's a guy over there who's like looking at us. And then when he turned around, the guy was no longer there. He was no longer there. And so I started to explain to him what he looked like. He had like long hair. He was like brown skin, Filipino, really tiny, skinny. I explained everything, what he wore. And then we got back to his apartment at the time, and he pulled out a picture, and it was his dad.
The same outfit?
I don't remember if it was the same exact outfit, but it was him. It was him. It was. And I remember just thinking like, first of all, visit your son, not me. I don't know you like that. Second of all,
no, I've heard things of that. Like I have a similar story, not with me, but with my aunt that happened to her. It was like their house or like their nanny or something. It was like, oh, there was this woman like in your yard, and then they're like, oh, that's weird, and you're like, yeah. Then she left, and it was. In like very like kind of old time, like older clothing, this or stuff, like she looks like an old lady, all this stuff. And then when she was like cleaning the house or going through the house, she saw a photo, and she was like, oh, that's her. And then like my aunt or whoever like turned like bright white, because that was like the mom or like who had passed or something. Yeah
it's a real thing. Like I don't know, I like half believe it because I'm too scared to believe it, but then you start experiencing it and you're like, this is real. I don't know,
like, whoa.
It is weird.
I think it's like comforting knowing that anything is it's like, I think it's scary knowing that anything is a possibility, but I also find it very comforting because it's like, okay, if anything's a possibility, then like it doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad, because like, you know, the world has like, things have to be balanced, like good and bad have to be balanced, right? So it's not necessarily bad, it's just kind of like what it is.
True.
If you believe it. Yeah,
true. And I think if we had this belief system like growing up, it'd be less freaky. But like for those who don't believe it and encounter it, like myself, you're like, oh, what the hell is going on? Because also you don't want to sound like a crazy person, you know, you don't want to be like, I see ghosts. Like
listen, I guarantee people see like ghosts. Well, I don't like saying ghosts, like spirits, because I also like, I'm kind of with you guys. Like I, again, if anything's possible, then it's like anything's possible, you know, but I do definitely think like people see spirits more often than they realize, you know. I feel like it's just kind of like people probably see them and like don't realize it's them, or I don't know. I think like the uncommon is more common than you would believe. Than is known, yeah.
There's definitely like a man following me, because when I moved here, like I saw the man ghost again. Like he had no face, but I knew he was there. And what was freaky is that, so I have a cat, and my cat always like meows at people when he wants food. So in the morning he always like meows at me, like wakes me up. But then I saw the ghost, he was like standing at the end of my bed, and my cat was like facing him, meowing at him. My cat would ask a ghost for food, like he would. like that would totally be, but he was like sitting there just meowing right at the man, and I saw him. And then I like woke up, and like, or I guess I got like my senses together, and then he was gone. And then and then my cat like looked back at me. So I was like, oh, like there's a man following me, like maybe he's my husband.
Oh my God. Right.
That's such a quirky like romance.
Your dead husband, Angela.
You're spirited away husband.
Do you guys like believe in that, like reincarnations or something?
Anything is possible.
No, okay. Real quick though, like the door on like over Angela's left shoulder, our right when we're looking at her, I keep expecting something to show up there. And like I like try not to look at
it. Wait, like is someone that? Standing there?
Yeah, like low key, I always feel like somebody will appear there. No, I didn't see it, but if you did,
it's like, I'm just joking. It's like an entryway, right? That's why.
No, I don't. I'm not looking, but like if something's like over there, then like.
Oh my God! Now I want to look.
Every time I like just kind of like peek at it, and I'm just like, oh shit.
Because after we like log off of this, she's gonna have to look at that door.
just turn on all the lights in the house.
I was just gonna say, like, if I was in a horror movie, I would be the first to die, because I'm too lazy to like check things. Like, you know how people like check if there's like a killer, like, you know, I would just be like, if the killer is here, the killer is here, whatever.
If I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die.
He's like, I don't have time for it's okay.
Angela's the type that's like, you know how you get the advice where it's like, oh, you shouldn't worry because if you worry, you end up like hurting yourself twice or something like that.
Yeah.
Like whatever, like I don't know the saying, but like Angela's literally this person. She's like, well, why am I gonna worry about dying if I'm gonna die?
Yeah, so like if you're gonna die, you're gonna die.
You're gonna die once. I can only die once.
That's the end of the Angela Hilario story. Like, what can I do? But I'm not gonna be like all like.
Who would survive from the killer of the people here?
Probably Angela, because she's so ready to die.
She's so like the killer wouldn't find any satisfaction. Yeah,
he would just be like, are you gonna run? No, I'm not gonna run. I'm just gonna die.
No, it's my home.
He'd be like, all right, well, this is boring. Let's go find someone else. And walks off with the hatchet.
You're like wasting my time.
Well, this isn't fun anymore. This is not how I wanted this to go. What time is it? All right, I can still make it to someone else's house.
Do you have any recommendations, Angela, on whose house?
Yeah, right. he just comes out of that door right now, just like, hey, so any of you guys want to get killed tonight?
Hey, I'm not familiar with this area. Who's like really good to kill here?
My uncle, witch doctor, So I don't think he's actually a witch doctor, but I used to go to him to get a Hilut. And if you're not familiar with like Hilut, it's like if you like translate it in like Google Translate, it literally translates to witch doctor. And like it was this thing where it's like when I got sick, my uncle would use this like special anointed like oil that had like a rose inside it, and then he would massage like parts of my back and then like mumble like words as he's like doing it, and I understand Tagalog, but I didn't know what he was saying, and and it hurt like hell, but the next day I'm cured. So I was just like, oh, okay, this is cool. Like, you know, this is normal. People do this, right? Like, you just convenient. Go get Hilut and then boom, you're better. But only now am I thinking about it that I'm like, oh, well, you know what? Every time like one of our family members like passed away or like something happened, like their family was the one that saw them afterwards. So it'd be like, my uncle committed suicide when I was like 11. Mm-hmm. And my aunt, so my aunt, his wife, I swear to God, he was at our house, like whistling, because my uncle used to love whistling when he was cooking. He was whistling from our kitchen. And when I went to check the kitchen, the stove was on. But I wasn't cooking. So blah, blah, blah. But it's like, it was kind of like, well, that's like she's not the cook of the family, but she's always cooking for someone. So we're like, mm-hmm. maybe tired and left it on. But then she's like, but that doesn't explain the whistling. And we were just like, oh, true. Very true. And then when my grandpa died, my uncle is the one that saw him. And I forgot what the story was, but because it wasn't as creepy, but it was just kind of like, oh, I saw him and he said bye kind of thing. And then when my grandma passed away, my cousin's son, grandma was like above our car while we were like driving, and she was like waving at me, and I was like, I'm sure she was. Yeah. Oh
my God. Wait, how old was the child at that time?
At that time I think he was like 3 or 4, something like that.
This is important because me and my mom have a theory that like babies and young children like see like spirits a lot more often than like other people do. Like they can see them a lot easier because they are closer to the other life, the other side of things.
I see,
you know, that because it's sense. Like they're fresh, right? Fresh in
or earth. If you're about to die, you're closer to it, and therefore you can see more spirits as well. Because you're
like, I wonder.
Oh God, so children are about to die. Got you.
You're about to die.
I think ghosts appear to those who would believe them. Like, if you've seen a ghost as a child, then they might come to you as an adult because you've already seen. That's what someone else told me. But hey, I have a question because you know, Ed's uncle was like, he whistled and he like did cooking. Like, what would be your signature like ghost move if you ever were a ghost? And like people were like, oh, that's Brandon. Well, like, what would that be? Is that like a morbid question?
No. I'm trying to think.
I mean, essentially, I think it would be like, what would you be remembered for? I think that's what Angela was asking, really. So, like, what's the quirky thing? Yeah.
Yeah, but like something that's like, oh, that's definitely him coming from beyond the grave.
I think it'd be like me reminding someone of Zara sales happening. You'd be like, there's a Zara sale happening.
So it's targeted ads. Brandon was a targeted ad.
Basically, I would like notify people when there's like really good deals on things.
Like, I just got like a bunch of emails from Zara and I never signed up.
You know, like, like I was like texting from the beyond, being like, this is on sale. Like,
what about you, Tessa?
It'd be like just jars of Nutella everywhere. Like, be like, I didn't know I had. They'd be open, half eaten, just like a spoon in them.
I think mine would be kind of creepy because, like,
oh my gosh,
like I like tap a lot because like I used to have like a like I used to drum all the time, and so I'd be practicing like my drum rudiments and like my beats and stuff like on desks and tables like a lot when I was younger, and then even like when I was in college, it's like I had to like actually practice like my classical music, but I was always just tapping, and so I feel like the tapping would be like the thing. Yeah, So I feel like that's a little creepy.
That is creepy.
That or it would be like a random ass ukulele song. Just playing out of nowhere.
Please Lemonade immediately. My
yeah. Yeah. I actually don't know that one.
You don't know Lemonade by Passion?
I don't know Lemonade, though.
Angela, Angela, you answer this question, then I'm gonna ask you a question. If you,
I don't know.
All of the unread books would fall out of your library.
Oh, that's a good one.
Just more unread books would just pile up randomly. Yeah.
It's like, oh, I did not read this. Yeah, that's right. How did this get here?
I feel like a new business would pop up, and that'd be your thing. Because I feel like every time I see you online, Angela, there's like a new business that you have.
This is true, actually. Yeah, it's like, wait, are you?
You have like a new business venture or project that came up, and you're like, wait, she's dead. How did this?
Like making money after that would be actually, I would love that. Like Michael Jackson or something, like just release albums. Like, even
oh my God. Dead. Oh, how fly would it be if your thing was you left money just randomly in different places? Like, that would
the
be
money awesome. Ghost.
The money ghost.
Like the tooth fairy for adults.
I know, or like a rapper. I'm the money ghost.
That'd be such a good rapper name.
I'm money ghost.
No, it would not.
DJ on the track, money ghost, hit the bars.
Or ghost money. Ghost comment money, below. Is it money ghost or ghost money?
I think it's ghost money. I think it's ghost money. Ghost yeah. money on the track.
But what were you gonna say, Brandon?
What was I gonna say?
Yeah, what were you gonna say?
I forgot. I was gonna ask you something. Oh, are you familiar with the song Lemonade by Passion? By Passion. Really?
No. I've never heard of Passion. Who's Passion?
Oh my God. Oh, God.
So we're done. We're done here. Podcast canceled.
So if y'all don't know, in the early 2000s, YouTube was popping with a bunch of Filipino artists.
She also doesn't know who AJ Raphael is. Well, she does now, but she didn't before.
Yeah. Okay, that's okay. But Passion, I really mean that.
Go stack those unread books.
Passion had a famous song called Lemonade, and if you haven't heard it, it's, listen to it, because every Filipino on YouTube sang it as a cover at some point. My friend used to have this joke of like, how do you find a missing Filipino? Make up the cover on YouTube.
I'm laughing so hard.
Because yeah, it's true. Except I don't know. I don't know how to play it.
I know. But you know the song?
I know the song. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how you don't know the song.
I don't know the song actually.
I kind of know how you don't know the song, because you're like, what's the generation after millennials?
Gen Z?
No, Gen X, right?
No, Gen X is the
is before millennials. So anyways, like I was saying,
like, Tess is irrelevant.
you like miss like the 2 or 3 year mark where it was like that was the staple song. That's what I'm saying. That's where I'm getting at.
Back Barnes is a toddler.
Back in my day. Yeah.
Brandon, what are you working on next? Anything that the audience can look forward to?
You know, I've been casting a lot more lately that I can't disclose too much about, but
oh, nice. Ooh.
I have 3 Disney projects I'm casting for. Ooh. And 2 Amazon Studio projects I'm casting for, which is really cool. But truthfully, this year,
congrats.
Thank you. Truthfully, this year I'm just working on myself. Like, I told myself this year I was gonna slow down, because last year was crazy. Like, I was working left and right. So this year I'm just like, I just want to like work on myself, and then whatever projects come my way. I'm not like looking for them.
Yeah. I feel like last year we met you, and then I was like, oh yeah, this guy seems like really cool. And then like on Insta, I'm like, he's like, when does he sleep?
It was crazy. Like,
constantly a new thing.
It was like a really busy year. And like, you know, it was a lot of opportunities and doors had opened that year, but I was like, this is too much. Like, I need to like chill for a bit. So yeah, I'm working on myself. That's my main project right now.